Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tyler Green. I'm the host and creator of This Is My Family, and you're listening to OPP.
God bless everybody, and welcome back to another episode of OPP, Other People's Podcast, America's number one podcast discovery platform. That highlights your favorite podcasters and the dope shows they created. I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. Our special guest this episode is Tyler Green, host of the amazing podcast, This Is My Family. This podcast talks about building a life with the people that we love. As a gay dad in interracial marriage, host Tyler Green's life is a testament to the fact there are many ways to define family today. In this episode, Tyler chats with me about his career in podcasting, his journey of self-discovery within his family. We get his podcaster's picks, and of course, we get into his dope show, This Is My Family. So, without further ado, allow me to introduce you to Tyler Green. What up, Tyler?
Hi, nice to see you again.
You know, Tyler, I'm so happy that we're doing this interview because some interviews and guests just come into your life at like the right time in your own life, right? And like even for me now, I'm exploring my family. Like I'm doing a piece with the New York Times about like my ancestry and my family. And this, your show and you coming into my life is like at the right time where I'm like, whoa. And so I'm super honored to have you on the show, but I want to explore your family. What was like the family vibe for you, and how did your upbringing shape your family?
It's a good question. And I'm just going to go back to my childhood. I grew up in actually a fairly, stereotypical Midwestern, you'd say middle class, possibly upper middle class, depending on when you asked what job my dad had at that point. Household. He worked for major pharmaceutical companies as an accountant for 23 years in Michigan. My mom worked, various jobs at gas stations or in housekeeping or jobs like that throughout most of her life. Actually, still to this day, she was recently let go from Disney because, pandemic. She's in Florida now. But then I also had a sister, Jessica, and a brother. My sister is younger than me. My brother is older than me. And so we had, three kids of different ages, two pretty different parents who had different ways of experiencing the world, obviously through their jobs, as I just mentioned, but also just like almost in every other way. I would say up to a certain point, my life as a kid was pretty idyllic. Like we went to Disney World. We, went on family trips and I planned all the trips because that's, that's just in my bones. And we had a pretty good, like my parents took care of us. Like we had a pretty nice existence. And then, my parents also liked to party. They didn't really get along very well all of the time. So there was, some tension, some conflict. And as the middle child who was hypervigilant, I was always trying to like fix stuff and make sure everybody was taken care of. And my mom used to always say, "You're going to be a lawyer one day." And she didn't know what a podcaster was then. So, there was that. I mean, and that could be like a whole podcast in and of itself, how we navigate childhoods that have some addiction in them and minimally tension and how you take care of that.
I got a real simple question for you, like super simple. Describe your family upbringing, right? Describe your family in one word.
the first word that came to me when you just said that was crazy.
And why is that?
And I mean that in kind of an endearing way. Like, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, myself, all of us are very distinct characters with very big personalities in different ways. And so at our best, that craziness manifests in these wonderfully exciting trips to Disney World. And we rented an RV and like drove from Kalamazoo or Galesburg, actually, to Orlando, like that kind of stuff, right? And then at our worst, like, you know, we can argue with the best of them. And so I think their craziness, I think, is probably not the best word to use. I think there's probably a better word to use, because I don't want to be disingenuous to mental illness in general. But like, that's the word that came up immediately. Yeah.
And I have a follow up question to that. Now you have your own family, right? And you've built your family. How would you describe your family that you've built for yourself in one word?
Man, the same word comes up.
Crazier.
Yeah, crazier. I mean, you know, my husband and I, we have now almost a 2-year-old. And, you know, my husband and I are very different. And we're both very distinct in our ways. We're both like, you know, dramatic in our own ways. My aspirational word for my current family is vibrant. At our best, it feels like, despite the fact that we're in a global pandemic, and there are certainly moments where I'm depressed and like I'm not happy with how my son is behaving or how my husband is acting. But I think overall, it feels vibrant. It feels like we've started to like exercise and hike and like try to take care of ourselves, because, you know, we're Californians now, so we have to do all that. And so, yeah, I think, and vibrant and chaotic, and kind of the juxtaposition of those makes more sense.
Because I'm learning through my own journey with family and learning about my family and learning about family history, that I'm learning more about myself in this journey. I'm learning about other people, but I'm also learning about myself too through other people, right? How have you learned about yourself, you know, through creating your own family?
Man, these are good questions. I feel like I need coffee now.
Good morning, dog. It's like 10.
Good morning. I have learned that I can be a pretty selfish person. And I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, most of us are pretty selfish, because that's, I believe, the nature of being a human. Even the most compassionate practitioners of Buddhist meditation would probably tell you that they are selfish. Aspiring maybe not to be, but, you know, I think especially in a pandemic, and my husband and I are pretty different. You know, I don't know if you know the Myers-Briggs, but he's an INFJ. I'm sorry, I'm an INFJ, and he's an ISTP. So the I we share, introversion, his is 30 out of 30 and mine is 5 out of 30. And then every other designation is the opposite. So I have to listen to him, you know, and I have to pause my story, my interpretation. My husband is also grew up the majority of his life in China. He moved here 13 or 14 years ago. Again, the numbers are going to be wrong. To go to the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, and has become a citizen 2 years ago, I believe. However, like, we are, you know, a multicultural household, mixed race household. He comes from China. I come from a small town in Michigan, and so with all of that, like, you have to pause at least and try to listen for what the person is actually saying, right?
Back in my rapper days, and having this conversation brought up like a lyric, one of my lyrics that I wrote like a long time ago, and I had to like jot it down, and it's about like my own dad and mom, but in particular my dad in this line. And there was a line I said that I was like, I emerged when the egg hit the semen, and I inherited his angels and I inherited his demons, right? And I've learned now that as I'm stepping into manhood, into my own life, that, you know, and we develop, we kind of can bear the burden of our own family traumas, right? If they didn't deal with it back then, it could pass along to us, you know, today. And so on the happier side of that, on the angel side, like, what were the qualities about your family that you were like, this is just super dope, and I'm carrying this on to the next generation?
I love my father's ability to turn any, like, major holiday into an event. And so, like, Christmas especially, like, near the end of our childhood, like, you know, there was more attention. And so, but Christmas was always, we're not religious, like, at all. You know, the whole, like, Midwestern, I believe in God thing. And, like, but, like, not going to church kind of, you know, situation. And so he would turn Christmas into, like, there were just, like, so many incredible little tiny rituals. Like, we would leave cookies for Santa, and he would write a letter back as Santa in, like, calligraphy, basically, pretending he was Santa. And so I really love that, like, the creating kind of these joyful moments around what are, like, traditionally pretty materialistic and kind of, like, basic ideas in a lot of ways. Very funny sidebar, like, my husband did not grow up around Christmas at all in China, and so I'm still working on him, and this is an area of growth for both of us.
Yeah, and you know, before we get into your podcast, I've you know, you mentioned that your partner is from China, and so I'm in an interracial relationship, and and understanding too, like, well, my family's going to be a lot different than how I grew up because my partner grew up in such a different environment, right? Cultural environment. You know, what excites you about bringing multiple cultures into your family that weren't there for you and your upbringing?
I think, I mean, it's incredible. Every day I learn something new. I'm learning Mandarin right now, which I should have learned years ago. But it's every week I have a teacher in China, actually, and we do an hour lesson, and I kind of learn the foods I'm cooking. And I cook a lot for my husband because his mom is not able to be here. She's sort of stuck in China because of travel restrictions, and she was going to help us take care of our son. And so I've learned how to make some things, and any time that I make Chinese food, is instant spirits are up from my husband. And so, I wouldn't really probably have it any other way. I think I'm interested in kind of growing and learning as much about the people around me as possible, and so we get to kind of do that with each other, and even on his side, and learning about the Midwest and how I grew up in various traditions, and, like, there's always a good conversation to have. I think, you know, I think Asians specifically during the pandemic have been, you know, harmed and have been physically abused. And there's a lot of stories that are coming out now that are really hard for him. And so kind of navigating that space with him and trying to be supportive where I can and kind of step away when I need to. There's no formula. It's just you just have to be there for your person and learn as much as possible.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My next question is, here we go. So for folks who have not heard your show, this is my family. Give me the elevator pitch for the show.
This is My Family is a podcast about building a life with the people you love. Period. it's a show that is really, as I was trying to develop, I knew I wanted to make a podcast in the pandemic with my friends, and I knew that I wanted to invest money into it and make it really good. My first objective was to create a show that I hosted that sounded beautiful so that I could, you know, the whole podcast as a calling card kind of thing, right? But we also know from experience that if you just make a podcast that's just a calling card, there's a chance it might not be that good. So we spent months talking about what is the show that Tyler wants to make. And my senior producer, Trisha Bobita from Nerdette Podcast and other podcast fame, really pushed me to think about my family as my unique sort of story, my unique perspective in the world. So I am a white guy who grew up in Southwest Michigan, who ended up going to a liberal arts school and kind of navigating the world of entertainment and performance. And then my husband, who grew up in China and came to this country to study and become a, you know, high-level user experience designer. And then we had a baby through surrogacy, using my sister's eggs and my husband's semen and creating this beautiful child, Sam. And then we've got, of course, my associated parents from that. So we've got my small-town parents. And then we've got my husband's small town / metropolitan parents from China, and like the various levels of acceptance and whatever the opposite of rejection, acceptance and rejection. There's so much there. And I have a lot of privilege as a white man. A lot. And being in an interracial marriage with a man, raising a baby, there are certain microaggressions that you experience when you walk into the doctor's office, when you walk into the grocery store, where I get a little bit of an insight into how it might be for people who aren't white men. And it sucks, and it's not fair, and it's not right. And so there is like a little bit of a, there's not a little bit, there's a huge fire in me to tell stories that resonate with people of all types so that they feel more connected with whoever that person is, so that they understand that actually our divisions are not as big as we think they are. And if our divisions are as big as we think they are, then we talk about it. And so I got really inspired by that fire, thanks to Trisha and the team, and decided that we would create a show where we talk to people about their families and how their families of origin shaped them, how their chosen or biological families guided them, and kind of use that as the underpinnings for the first season.
Tyler, what do you want listeners to learn about family from listening to your show?
I want people to understand that there is not just one way to have a family, and that love and human relationship are the centerpiece to most people's lives. Whether we like it or not, that is how we are created. And I would really love to myself be able to walk into a doctor's office or a grocery store and not feel the glances. You know, I'm a pretty sensitive person. I can feel people's energy. I would like to not have people just looking at me, even if they're interested and they think my kid is cute. You know, that sort of microaggression of like, oh, so adorable. But what's behind it is like, oh, two guys with a baby, right? I would love for people like me to not have that experience. I would love, and that applies to every arrangement of family possible. If somebody chooses to not have a child, I would love for society to not pressure that person into feeling like they're not enough because they've made that choice. I would like people to understand, like, for example, my friend, I will call now Latrice Royale, famous drag queen. You know, there's much more to Latrice than meets the eye. I would love for people to listen and figure out how people are made through their family.
We've come to a part of the show called our Podcaster's Picks. Now, this is when I ask the guests of today's show to provide me with their top three favorite podcasts that they enjoy that we should be listening to. So, Tyler, take it away.
Okay, well, the first one is easy. It's Kara Swisher's Sway from New York Times Opinion. It just came out during the pandemic. For those of you who don't know, Kara Swisher is like a tech journalist. She, you know, holds people in power accountable, people like Elon Musk, people like Mark Zuckerberg, people like Anna Wintour, people like that on her show. And I just love Kara so much. I've only recently fallen in love with her. She just has this amazing ability to call bullshit in a way that people will actually, on the other side, respond to. And I don't know what it is. It's her magic sauce. And I love that show so, so much. Also, because it's an interview show that is highly produced. And you can tell that a lot of thought went into how my time was going to be spent with Kara and her guest. So I love that. Okay, so the second one is, I believe it's like Crime Town Season 2. It's called The Ballad of Billy Balls. It's a little bit about punk in New York in like the 80s and 90s. And then, you know, I think this is a lot of people's favorite podcast right now, but It's Been a Minute with Sam Sanders is constant for me. Sam is, I worked with him a little bit when I was at WBEZ in Chicago on his show. We did a live show at the Old Town School of Folk Music with Sam Irby, and it was amazing. He is everything you think he is in real life. He has this ability to be the kindest, most gentle host, and also like cover the news in a way that feels like I can actually swallow it. You know, like sometimes you get those big ass like vitamins and like they're like really hard to swallow. Like, but this is a weird example. I hope Sam never hears this. But like it feels like it's just like an easy kind of, it's not easy because sometimes the show is talks about tough stuff, but does it in a way that I think is just, again, beautifully produced, but creates such a welcoming space for people to just process shit during these trying times.
And Tyler, before we get out of here, why do you podcast?
Because I can't do anything else. No, I'm kidding. God, I love this question, and it's really hard to answer in a way that I'm satisfied with. I podcast primarily, I think. It's going to be a stereotypical response, really, but the intimacy of the medium. And so by that, I mean I grew up in theater. I love going to concerts, big arena shows. I'm obsessed. I could talk to you for an hour about arena shows, pop shows specifically. But podcasting takes kind of some of the storytelling and character stuff of theater, and it can take some of the actual sonic parts of a live musical performance. And it just puts it right in your head. Yeah, I was going to say your face, sort of your face. Just puts it right there. And so you do have this like ability to form, I think, deeper, more authentic relationships with the people who listen to your show. And I really believe that the world should be a nicer place. I feel like the world should be a little more easeful to live on this planet. And there's a lot of people where that is, well, most people these days where that's not the case, but there's a lot of people because of what they look like or how they exist in the world where it's just is harder no matter how good life may be. And I think that the audio medium is a really amazing way for those people to tell their stories and for people to listen and kind of do it on their own time and in their own terms and be able to have their own experience with that person's voice, right? So I do believe that podcasting is changing the world, has changed the world, and will continue to in pretty profound ways that neither of us even know what that looks like. And, you know, I'm excited to continue to watch the evolution. And honestly, I'll say, like, as like a sort of another way of looking at this question, why are we podcasters? like, why is this our business? Like, why aren't we film directors or like, you know, TV directors? It's like, I have a degree and training in directing theater, you know, complicated live events, putting on events that, you know, why am I not still doing that? And I am still kind of interested in those things, like you and I talked about intellectual property and making sure that that's protected for your podcast and maybe like turning your show into a movie or a TV show. So who knows? Maybe I'll be a sitcom writer someday. But sticking to one medium and like really becoming an expert in this medium, I think the way that the stars have aligned for me have allowed me to really go deep. And so I've only recently been like, I am a podcaster,
you know? Yeah.
And not like I am a podcaster and a theater director and this, that, and the other thing. And so I think that the medium is allowing people now, especially those of us who have been in it since the beginning, really, to call ourselves veterans. And it feels good to be a veteran, I think.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of OPP and to our special guest, Tyler Green. You can check out his amazing podcast, This Is My Family, on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. This episode was produced by Justin Richards. Music for this episode was produced by Richie Quake. And are you down with OPP? If so, check out OPP.news for the latest in podcast news and releases. And while you're still listening, how about giving me a 5-star rating and leaving me a comment in the Apple app? It'll really mean a lot to your boy. Well, I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. God bless everybody. Till next time.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.